Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. So prayer request, Miss Loretta Cole's step would be her stepmother. Her father's deceased. She went on a cruise and she became very ill, and she is alone in a hospital in Mexico, and they're trying to get her home, and she's been there for a while, and they were going to air vac her out, and then they're trying to figure out how to put her on a commercial airline, and they're having a really difficult time getting her out of there. So her name is Chris, and we're going to lift her up right now. She's ill, and she needs God's intervention. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we just speak to Chris right now. In Jesus' name, receive the life of God in that place. Before you're ever airlifted or taken out of that place, in Jesus' name, let our prayers now, Father, go as His words were on this planet. We speak the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I command you to be raised up, and I command you to be made whole through the righteousness of Jesus Christ, the stripes that He bore in His body, we release to you now. And may your circumstances change where you're able to be brought out of that place. Father, we give you all the glory. We thank you and praise you. Hallelujah. We got a thanks from the people that we sent the prayer cloth to. What is Perry, the young lady, her mother called today and was so very thankful for that prayer cloth and thanking you for praying. And that, if you weren't here or you didn't hear when I was praying, it's a 16-year-old that has a blood clot in the lungs, and they're trying to work with her and get that removed. And her name is Perry. So, hallelujah. We just continue to lift her up, Father. That mother was so thankful for this church. But Lord, we're so thankful for the blood of Jesus. We really are, Father. We're so thankful. We know that it's through that blood, Father, that we are who we are, made whole. We give you all the praise. Continue to speak life to that young lady's body. And in the name of Jesus, that you will continue to be raised up by the glory of God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Daniel, you want to come up here? I want to pray for you. You're leaving tomorrow. Is that right? Daniel's been a guest of Homer's for the last couple of weeks. He's going back to Texas tomorrow. I just thought we would pray over him. Had a good stay. Sometimes I look over here and he's coming out of the church during the days. Spend some time with the Lord. It's been a good time for you. So would you stretch your faith this way and just bless him in the spirit. Father, we just thank you right now, Lord, that he goes back stronger and that he's solid in his foundation. Lord, I thank you that there will be no more days of wavering to and fro, but I thank you that his foundation is strong. And I release the power of God to you, Daniel. Let this work that has begun in you increase in the name of Jesus. Grow. Go stronger in the name of Jesus. Let this foundation that you're placing inside of you spring forth in the name of Jesus. And Lord, every pitfall, anything the enemy could try to come with in the next several months, even towards the end of this year, we just break every assignment in the name of Jesus. And I release the power of God. I thank you that your anointing, Lord, breaks the yoke. And I thank you for your grace in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. We bless you. We bless you. We bless you in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Anyone else? Thank you, Jesus. Okay. Hallelujah. Glorify you. So you may be seated and just continue to worship God. Hallelujah. Praise God. You may feel blessed already. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Would you just lift your hands and just begin to magnify Him? Father, we give you all the glory. We know that we can do nothing of ourselves. But whatever we do, we can only do because the Father works in us. And Father, we love you. How we love you. We glorify you. We love you, precious Spirit of God. Holy Ghost, thank you for glorifying Jesus. This is your accepted assignment on the earth, is to glorify Him and to magnify Him in us and in our services. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The blind see. The lame walk. You guys are trained. The deaf hear. The dumb speak. We have all the money necessary. Oh. Jesus, if you need anything, come to my house first. Hallelujah. I wonder sometimes how much we mean that. It's like, it says, come to my house first, knock at the door. You know, the door of our heart. I'd like for you to, oh, you're talking to the wrong. I can't, no. Have you seen my checkbook lately? Hallelujah. Well, there are a number of ways that you can serve money. Money can have you. You can have a lot of it, and it can have you and tell you, you know, you can be a servant of it. And then you can not have very much of it and serve it. Because it's all you think of is trying to survive from daylight till dark. But hallelujah for our Father. Hallelujah. Because if we confess that enough, then eventually He's going to cause it to come to pass. If you need anything, come to my house first. And how many of you know He's not going to ask anything that you can't do? But how many of you would like to really be a part of financing this revival? Amen. And so, the revival's not here yet. Well, it is, but it's not in full swing. But we're headed that way, so you might as well keep confessing. Well, let's see, where were we at with our confession? The maimed are made whole. Hallelujah. Demoniacs are set free. Thousands and thousands. Thousands and thousands. Thousands and thousands are born again in this revival. Hallelujah. Thousands and thousands are spirit-filled in this revival. Hallelujah. I say that because we pray in tongues, meditate the word, that we will not get wacky in this revival. Wacky or weird. Because the Holy Spirit is praying the weirdness out of us now. Hallelujah. Praise God. Some people think you can pray too much in tongues. What did the guy say when, or what did Pastor Dave say? When the guy said you can pray too much and get weird. He said if you get weird, it's because you had the capacity to get weird. And the Holy Spirit just brings it all out to where that what everybody else has always been seeing about you, you begin to see about yourself. Hallelujah. Well, we've been born again. We have been born again. We have been born again. Thank God. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians 5:17. And before I was born, 1956, there was a syndicated show that came out, and I remembered it today when I was thinking about some of these scriptures and the truth, some of the truth that we're going to look at tonight. It was a game show. And some of you will know in just a moment what show I'm talking about. It was hosted by Brad Collier to start with, and a Gary Collins, I think, is the guy that I remember, because I didn't remember his name, but I remember seeing his face today. And it was all about that it had four panelists that would come out, and they were usually movie stars or people that would sit on the panel. And then after that, it would introduce three contestants, and they would all be revealed at the same time. A curtain would come up, and male or female, they would be standing there. And then what would be introduced would be that these panelists were going to try to identify. They were going to give one name, and they were going to title the name of that person, and one of those people standing there was that person. And that person usually was some kind of professional or specialist, or she might have been an inventor, or something that was really unique about that person. And that person's identity was said, but the amazing part was all three of those people were introducing themselves as that particular person. Two of them were basically trying to steal the identity, and now this will kind of give it away. One of them was sworn to tell the truth, and the other two were going to do their best to sit there, and for the duration of the show, any question that was asked to them, they were going to do their best to lie so close to the truth that the panelists would have a hard time, because the panelists had no pre-introduction of those people, didn't know them by face or anything. The panelists would have to conclude who the real person was. Now, does any of you remember that show? To Tell the Truth. Okay. It was To Tell the Truth. Two of the people there, sitting there, were just really good liars. Really good liars. And they would ask, the panelists would ask questions, and the people that was lying a lot of times would sound so close to the person you didn't know. And it was fun to kind of try to guess who the right person was. But the amazing part was, a lot of times, because the lie was so close to the truth, you could miss it, and the panelists would miss it, and the drama would build. And I think they had a couple of segments on there during that 30 minutes, and when they would say, will the real Gary Flint please stand up, and they would they'd be sitting there and they would like, and one would start to move and the next one would start to move and you'd say, I thought that was him. I thought, and then the guy that you thought least a lot of times would stand up and he was the professional or she was this or that or the other. And so it was pretty amazing. It was pretty amazing. And I was thinking about today and contemplating the truth of what we have become in Christ Jesus and who we have become in Him. But at the same time, I realize that there are some imposters that are around us that are continually trying to steal that truth from us or trying to convince us if we listen to them. And a lot of you might be thinking, oh, I know who that imposter is. It's the devil. And it, yes, in the back of the background, but how many of you know that we still live in a body called the flesh? And we still have a soul or a mind that has to be renewed on a continual basis. And if we do not allow those, if we do not allow the flesh to be killed through the power of the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit has come to pray for us that He might mortify, that means put to death, the deeds of the body. And if we don't mortify the deeds of the body, how many of you know that the body has a voice as well? It can speak. Your body can speak to you. Your body can tell you you're sick. It can tell you you're sick and you're not going to get any better. I mean, how does your body talk to you? But it does. Somehow it'll send the impulses. It does. It'll tell you you're sick and you're not going to get any better. Your mind will agree, and especially when things are coming at you that are not or that are contrary to the Word, and it'll begin to tell you, well, you're just a sinner saved by grace, but you're not going to change. The problems that you had before in the past, the problems that you thought were gone someplace, they've come back to haunt you again. And you know, if you begin to agree with your mind, it's just like one of those guys on To Tell the Truth, it'll sound so close to the truth that before long, if you begin to agree with it, the devil will have you someplace way out in left field. Have you agreeing with something that is not true? Well, what is true? What is the truth? The truth is this. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says this. Look at it. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is what? He is a new creation or a new creature. Old things are what? They are passed away, and behold, all things become new. Hallelujah. What we need to know is that the real you, the one that God identifies with and the one that the Holy Spirit lives in, is this new creature. From the very beginning, and I'm talking about if you've been born again, if you've asked Christ into your life, some of you have seen, most of you have been in my office a lot of time at different times, or some of you haven't. But we call this, and this picture's really faded through the sun through the years. But this is, and it's got the same scripture on it, is 2 Corinthians 5:17. And it's a pretty close rendition of what happens to you at the new birth. At the new birth, Jesus said in John chapter 3 that he was explaining to Nicodemus, because here's a ruler of the Jews who come to Jesus by night. And he's asking Jesus spiritual questions, and Nicodemus can't quite get it. Because Jesus says this. He says, except you be born again, you'll not enter into the kingdom of God. And he said, how can a man be born the second time? Can he enter again into his mother's womb and be born again? And Jesus said, that which is born of flesh is flesh. He says, that which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of spirit is spirit. And meaning this, your mother and father. And Jesus went on to say, except you be born of water and of the Spirit. In other words, the water is your natural birth. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. This is what happens to us at the new birth. That old corruptible thing there that looks like it's dying, it does. Instantly it dies, and life, the generating life of the Holy Spirit, comes in and breathes life. That's who you really are. That's who you are from the very beginning. 2 Corinthians 5:17 said, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. I don't care how you wake up in the morning and how you feel. I don't care what your soul tells you. I don't care what your body tells you. The real you is this golden man. The real you is that person on the inside in which has the capacity from the very beginning to receive, and it does receive the life of God. It does have that life of God inside of it. Now, another scripture to turn with me. Let's turn to Ephesians. How many are glad you're not that old corruptible guy anymore? Hallelujah. Ephesians chapter 4. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Ephesians 4, 22 says this, that you put off what? Concerning the former conversation, the old man. Well, who's the old man? It was that old man that was not yet born again, that corruptible man, that you put off the conversation, the old man, concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And this is just talking about that disposition, that born-again spirit brings forth a disposition, a renewal of the way that you're supposed to be thinking. Because if you don't enter into that disposition the way that you're supposed to think, then you've got some liars to contend with. And the liars are... They're not as far away as the devil sometimes. They're as close as yourself. If your body begins to tell you, if your soul begins to tell you that you're anything other than what he says that you became at the new birth, then you have a contention. You have a place of contention. You have a place where you need to begin to realize what's the truth. Now, you're going to need to know that truth when the soul begins to rise up and say, look, I want to go my way. I want to do my own thing. I want to live out my life. The word says here that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind and that you put on, everybody say put on. Put on. That you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and in what? True holiness, righteousness and true holiness. In other words, righteousness and true holiness is not something that you grow. There's many things that you have to grow into in Christ. But this person that you are from the very beginning, that's who you're created. That's your spiritual DNA. That you are truly created in righteousness and true holiness, that inner man. Now, the only problem is, like I said, we live in a body and we have a soul. And sometimes that body and that soul do not want to respond and follow after what God's Word says. Sometimes it wants to do its own thing. It wants to go its own way. Colossians 3, turn with me there. Hallelujah. Are you glad you're in the house of God? Praise God. How many are glad he's holy and he's made us holy? It says this in verse 1, if ye then be risen with Christ. Well, when did I rise with Christ? When I got what? When I got born again. If you be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above and not on what? See, this is the part where you're going to have to exercise. your rights in Christ. You're going to have to, this is the part, once you get born again, that's deliberate on His. That's the Holy Spirit deliberately delivers you this spirit. He creates this righteousness. You are that glowing person. When Jesus was transfigured on the mount, I believe they were able to just look right into His spirit. That's what your spirit looks like. It's a glowing image of the very presence of God. That's who you are. But after that, there's things that you've got to do. There's things that He did initially, just like that. But there's things that you must do and I must do very deliberately on a daily basis. And one of those things is to set our affections on things above, not on things of the earth. For the Word says here that we are dead and our life is hid with Christ in God. Well, how many of you feel like sometimes that you're not dead? That your life is very... When anger comes, when fear comes, when all those things that says that they've been crucified with Christ begins to rise up, that's where the war starts right there. That's where you have to decide, look, am I who He says I am, or am I going to be or believe what my soul, what my mind begins to tell me that I am? When Christ, it says in verse 4, who is our life shall appear, then shall ye also appear with Him in glory. Now it says this, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanliness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry, for which things, he says, sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in which ye also walked sometime, or in the past, ye lived in them. But now, why? Because you can. But now put off, everybody say put off. Put off these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that you do what? You put off. See, these are, you put off the old man with his deeds. This is the deliberate part. This is the part where every day a decision has to be made. Well, who's telling the truth? Who's the real you? Will the real you stand up? Well, the real you is what Christ says that you are. But you're in contention. There's a fight there because He says that you have to put off, and He gives the whole list of these things. You have to put off anger. You have to put off malice. You have to put off covetousness. You have to be the one. Well, how do you do that? Well, have you ever heard a message on praying in tongues? Have you ever heard a message on meditating the Word? See, you don't just sit down and say, well, I'm going to do this. There's something that has to be done for that to take place. Well, who am I? You are who He says that you are. You are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Well, I don't feel like it. Well, you are. Some days you may not feel saved. You are saved. Well, I don't feel it. Well, that doesn't matter. Does His Word say that you are? If you confess Christ, and if you've been going to the blood, hallelujah. How often should I go to the blood? How much do you need the blood? 97 times a day? Yes, go to the blood, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God. See, well, I'll keep going. Lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off what? The old man with his deeds. You should just circle or underline if you have a pen. Verse 8 says put off. Verse 9 says put off. And then verse 10 it says what? And put on the what? Well, that's who I am. That's right. That's who you are. Who's telling the truth? The new man. Who's the liars? Well, your soul, your soul's not supposed to be your enemy, nor is your body supposed to be your enemy. But if the enemy gets in there and starts trying to say to your soul, and then your soul repeats the words that it says, when it begins to repeat, then it becomes a liar against the truth. But it says here in verse 10, and put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge. What knowledge? Knowledge according to the Word of God, after the image of Him that created him. Who created you? God, your Father. Who were you, whose image were you created after? Jesus our Lord. Verse 11 says, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision, uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond or free, nor free, but Christ is all in all. And then again in verse 12 he says, put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any. See, what he's listing there is some of this stuff that he lists there is actually fruits. Meekness, humbleness, that's all fruits of the Spirit. Innately, in other words, that came about, but then again, he's saying put it on. It's there, but you have to put it on. You have to deliberately choose on a daily basis to live out of who you are. It's the same thing in 2 Peter chapter 1 that we've read before. There, Peter talks about adding. But it's the same thing that Paul is talking about here, about putting these things on. Continue to put them on. In other words, continue to live out of what you've been made. Yes, you've been made this. But there has to be a deliberate choice on a continual basis to say, I'm going to walk into these things. I'm going to, and you know the scariest thing that you'll ever realize? Now this is pretty scary, and I've contemplated this before. And I know I've heard Gary say this before too. Do you know the part of you that chooses, that really is the part of you that chooses to pray? I mean, the one that has the say on that? How much time you're going to spend? The part of you is that, is the soul. It's the part of you, the will. It's the will. Because I know it's not my spirit that is the one that's doing all it. Because my spirit would just, it'd sit down and pray for hours. It'd pray for 8 hours and not have a problem. But the part of me that sits down for 30 minutes and then says, whew, man, I had a breakthrough. I think I'll just go see what's on TV, eat some peanuts, and chill out. What part? That made a decision. So the scary part is, it's our will or it's our soul. That's the part of us that has to be renewed on a continual basis. That's the part of us that we have to choose out of the Spirit to say, I'm going to put on this new person. I'm going to put off the old person. I'm going to say, I'm going to continually identify. That's why it's so important to renew our minds to the Word of God on a continual basis. Praying in tongues is a vital part of that. But let me encourage you. The Holy Spirit is encouraging me, and I will encourage you how important it is to just get into the Word and read the Word. Hallelujah. Now, are there pastures? In other words, are there places where He would want you at? Yes. In particular, but if you don't know where those are, you can't go wrong by just opening up the Word and just praying in tongues and reading the Word until you figure out exactly where you're supposed to be. Just read. I'd rather be reading someplace in Ezekiel that I did not understand than sitting there not doing anything. Hallelujah. Because your mind somehow is going to be being renewed by the Word of God. Hallelujah. And then as your will, as your mind is renewed by the Word of God, you're going to make some of those deliberate decisions to spend more time and more time and more time. The part of us that says, okay, I'm going on a fast tomorrow, especially when your stomach is real full. Man, I have started a whole bunch of fast right after. I mean, just as your toothpick is picking out all... You know what? A fast would feel good. I mean, let's go on a fast. You wake up. Where's the coffee? Well, you know what? Mondays are not a good day to start. And aren't the kids supposed to be coming over Tuesday? And Wednesday I've got to preach. So I know what? Next week, I miss God. Next week's the week I'm supposed to start a fast. That's right. So we got to put off. And put on. Hallelujah.
Verse 12 says, put on therefore as the elect of God, holy, beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind. These are all fruits of the Spirit. In other words, they're there. They're already in there in that man. They're already there. You don't have to work them up. You just have to live them out. You just have to say, okay, I'm going to choose on a daily basis. And how do I do that? Well, spending time in prayer activates that. It brings those forward. Because otherwise, you may feel like you're Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. I don't know if you know who that is. Somebody that is Dr. Jekyll is a real refined, nice guy. Mr. Hyde is that monster that comes. Well, that monster's not coming out of your inner man. That monster that wants to defy the wisdom of God, that's coming from your soul in the enemy. It's trying to activate that person. But, hallelujah, thank God that we are dead and our life is hid with Christ in God. Hallelujah. Verse 14 says this, and above all these things, put on what? He's trying to tell us put on, put off, put on, put off. We're putting on everything that's on the inside of us. Put on charity, which is the bond of perfection. Well, I mentioned 2 Peter a while ago, so why don't you turn there? Because when you read what Paul was saying about putting on and putting off, it makes these verses that we read just a few weeks ago even more understandable. In verse 4, well, in verse 2, grace and peace be multiplied unto you, 2 Peter chapter 1, through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power has given unto us all things that do what? Pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him that called us unto glory and virtue. This is that glory is our born-again nature. It's our born-again spirit. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be a partaker of the divine nature, by these precious promises, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust, and besides this, giving all diligence. Now you can just, if you want to understand what he's saying here, you could just almost, everything that Paul was saying in Galatians and everything that Paul was saying in Ephesians, you could almost just substitute the word put on. Instead of, Peter uses add. He says add to. Well, all this that he's about to list here are already fruits of the Spirit. In other words, they're already in there. Well, then how can you know that you can't, in and of yourself, you can't do anything. Didn't Ephesians say that we were created in true righteousness and holiness? We are. We've got all those. The true righteousness and holiness is the moral compass. Now, that part of us, it can't change, that moral compass. In other words, nobody has to tell you, you know, that it's wrong to steal, that it's wrong to lie, that it's wrong to commit adultery. That is there from the very get-go. Now, we can grow in the fruits of the Spirit, but all those things are there from the very beginning. But the word that Paul was using was put on. Now, Peter says uses the word add. He says, and besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. What if we just substituted put on faith, or put on virtue, put on knowledge, put on temperance, verse 6, and to knowledge, temperance, and to temperance, patience, and to patience, godliness. You see what I'm saying? That it's all there. It's all there from the very beginning. You don't have to go and search for it and say, okay, God, create something in me. It's there from the very beginning. It's just up to us on a continual basis, on a daily basis, if we're going to put our flesh on the cross. Well, how do I do that? Well, just pray. Because your flesh doesn't like to pray. It doesn't like to be seated. It doesn't like to spend time. But eventually, you can wear it out. You can bring it to a place as you're putting on and putting off, that you're bringing it under the subjection of the new man. Hallelujah. Amen? Amen. Glory be to God. How many are ready to grow into more of everything that he says that we are? Yeah. Hallelujah. put off, put on, put off, put on. Hallelujah. Put on everything he says. Don't let, you're going to be challenged in the days ahead. The enemy is going to come. And, you know, when he begins to put thoughts and emotions at you, it's not a sin when things come. What is a sin is if you do not begin to resist them. If you don't resist them and then you begin to agree with them, what is a sin is when you don't put them off, when you don't stand your ground and say, no. That emotion, that feeling of hatred or anger or anxiety or those things are not from God. I will not stand for those. I'll not allow those. It's not wrong. It's not a sin to be attacked. What is a sin is when you begin to agree with one of the panelists that stands up and says, okay, I'm the real you, and you're saying, oh, no, you're not the real me. If you're bringing fear, you're not the real me. If you're bringing anger, you're not the real me. If you're bringing some feeling that is not according to Scripture, you're not the real me. The real me is created in true righteousness and holiness. Hallelujah. And we continue to put off and put on through the grace of God. Hallelujah. Let's all stand together. Hallelujah. How many are glad you came to the house of God tonight? Amen. Amen. Lift your hands. Father, we just love you. We just give you all the glory. We thank you for who Jesus Christ is in us, the hope of glory. Father, we thank you because of who he is. We can face tomorrow, the next day. We're going into revival. We love you, Father. Thank you for your strength. Thank you for your help. And thank you for us going into that place where we know who we are and we know who sent us. And we thank you for us being able to go into revival for the power of God in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Give somebody a great big hug again tonight. Thank you, Jesus.